You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs today. We're going to deviate this one Sunday from the book of Colossians. We've been there since January 7th, and we'll pick it up next Sunday in chapter 4 again in the book of Colossians. As you turn there, this does not relate to my message other than the fact that while we have one another, we need to love one another. We had a college girl, Emma Freeman. She sits right here in this section. She went home after graduation on Thursday. And Emma was while in an airplane. She landed in Virginia and was greeted by one of her family members and said, while you're on the plane, your brother, 13 years of age, was killed in an accident. And that dear family, Gil Grove Baptist Church, Pastor Brothers, is going to have that funeral this week. It's such a hard time. And that little girl's life has been so badly affected, so sorrowfully affected, I should say. And that mother and dad, you pray for that pastor, you pray for those parents. Freeman is the name. I have a roommate in college, he's a couple years behind me, but his daughter, 44 years of age, and his granddaughter were both killed last week in a car accident. The funeral's tomorrow, Dr. John Getch. And he's been my dear friend and a faithful man of God. And I don't understand all these things, but next year on Mother's Day, if the Lord tarries, we may have someone missing. Love every person around you.
Amen.
And don't go to bed with situations in your life that you're not right with one another. Be right with your mate. Be right with your children. Be right with your parents. Be right with your in-laws. Be right with your church. Be right with your pastor. Be right with everybody in life. Don't be the grump at work. Be the one that brings joy. And some will be missing next year if the Lord tarries. Brother Bunker, I think I just saw you. I've been looking all over for you. Brother Bunker, right there you are. Glad you're here to pick up your daughter, Melanie, to go home. And I heard the post just walked in a while ago, right over here. Congratulations on your wedding yesterday. And we're glad that you're here. And grateful that you have a grandbaby coming. We found out in class today. And that's wonderful. Mothers, I stand before you as a frail instrument because I know I failed my mother in life. I wasn't a perfect son. But I can tell you this, when I saw her in her casket, I don't think of anything that was left undone. And I didn't have to hug her. I remember in the old building, probably 40-some years ago, a man came to the casket and picked his mother up. She's buried out here in Santa Clara, and picked her up and began to scream at the close, Mother, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was so wrong, Mother. And he took that cold body and lifted it to himself and said, please forgive me. It's too late. If you got something to get right, you better get it right now. Today, we're going to stay in the book of Proverbs. I'm asking you to keep your Bibles open as we deviate from Colossians chapter 4. And often on Mother's Day, I speak about the duties of mothers. That's very understandable. Years ago, I remember I gave every mother a card. And it was a white card, glossy color, and it had an M. It was a beautiful gray, big M. And then the remainder of the word, O-T-H-E-R-S. M stands for mothers, others. And every mother lives for others. Read Proverbs 31 sometime. She lives for a husband. She lives for a household. She lives for a field. She lives for the poor. She's living for everyone. And ladies, we appreciate you so very much. But instead of giving mother her duty, yet you do have a duty. You have a duty to pray for your family. You better be praying for your husband. You better be praying for your children and grandchildren. And you do have a responsibility not only of prayer, but demonstration of a love for your children. That is a demonstration The word love is a commitment to meet needs, and you have a responsibility. Your kids ought to hear. I read a clinical psychologist 40 years ago, Clyde Darrenmore. I'm not into psychology, although I took it in college. But he said, by the time a child leaves your home, he should have heard 10,000 words of encouragement from a mother and a dad. That's a great statement. So mother, you have a responsibility of prayer. You have a responsibility to demonstrate. You have a responsibility of example. We speak so loud, we can't hear what you say. So what they see is more important than what you say. God gave us two ears, one and two eyes, and one mouth. I believe it's so important that a mother sets the right example, how to forgive, how to seal their lips, and how to get off the internet and get in the moment with your children. Don't be spending all that time on that Facebook and false book, whatever they call it. I don't know what it is. And then I think you have a devotion to your family. But today I turn our attention to our responsibility. As a child, as we look to our mothers. And today I want Hudson, my grandson, Riley and Hudson, I think I'll use Hudson for this illustration. Would you come up this way and grab a microphone here? And Hudson's going to be a senior. His brother will be a senior, and they're both a senior in high school. They're both single, ready to get married. So you grab a microphone. You're not married yet, are you?
No, sir.
No, sir. You don't like sit right here in Papa's chair, right there, if you will, and just tell me how that feels. Is it got a good feel to you? You think you want to preach today?
Maybe a few years.
A few years. That'd be great. So Hudson's going to help me. Because Hudson and his brother really was the star, I guess, more lines than this guy right here. But maybe it's because, Riley, you're smarter than he is. I'm not sure. I can't believe how many lines he had in the play. But you were in the play recently, and he had lines, but your biggest line was two words. Each word had two letters, really. And the two vowels were the same letter. And then it had an M and a W, so you can put it upside down. And so, Riley, Hudson, you just stand right here for a minute. Let me help you with a few things. And I'll be your mother. No. I'll be your mother for a minute. Hudson, did you brush your teeth? That was his big line on the play. He complained about everything. Aw, Ma. Hey, son, would you go pick up your room, please? Yeah, he's got it down. Hudson, would you take the garbage out, please?
Mom.
Yeah, you're getting it good. You're getting it good. Do you ever try that at home?
I'm too scared to.
Yeah, exactly. Get a little bit closer to your mouth. How about this? Hey, son, your mother's speaking to you. Would you go sweep the porch, please?
Mom.
Exactly. You're doing great. Oh, Ma. You could preach. I think it's on you, brother. Did you make your bed this morning, son?
Oh, Ma.
Did you finish your homework?
Oh, Ma.
Yeah, we're doing well. They'd be seated right there. I'm preaching this morning. Oh, Ma. It's a really deep message. Oh, Ma. Boy, I tell you what, I remember his mom saying, oh, Dad. Maybe that's why I learned his line so well. What do you think, Riley? I don't think she ever said that. Proverbs chapter 1 today. And would you look with me in verse number 8? My son, and of course, you see this throughout this entire book, verse 8, my son, verse 10, my son, verse 15, my son. You'll notice in chapter 2, verse 1, my son. You know, chapter 3, verse 1, my son. Chapter 3, verse 11, my son. This is the wisest man at that time, Solomon, writes to his son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had this entire book of wisdom. His dad dealt with him nearly 300 times. He said, son, guard your mouth, your lips, your speech, your tongue. I've got them all marked in my Bible. He talked to him about his words, his wealth, money, silver, gold. He talked about women, quality women, and wicked women. He talked about wisdom to his son. I won't continue to go, but I have about maybe 10 or 12 or 15 words that deal with W's. It's walk, you see it all there. And here in this text, he's dealing with the son, the tragedy about his son, Rehoboam. He'd rejected everything his dad gave him. He threw it all away. He threw away what his mother had tried to give him. He was a know-it-all. Life's about me. He was a narcissist, really, is what he was. And here in chapter number 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of the father. Now watch. Read this last part. Ready? Begin. And forsake not the law of thy mother. To forsake, don't reject the law, the teaching of your mother. Mother, your mother's taught you the word of God and your dad as well. Don't reject that. Hudson, I ask you a question, and I'll be your mother for a while. Would you please grab mother's Bible for me? It's time to read the Bible together.
Oh, Mom.
Be seated, please. You know, why would we treat our mother like that? Oh, Ma. Oh, it's the Bible. What do you want mother to give you? Drugs? A little marijuana? Fentanyl, where 108,000 of our kids died in the streets of America last year? Is that what you want from your mother? I want liberty. What do you want to do? I want to drink liquor. All right, go ahead. Let me tell you something about liquor. It's not freedom. It's not liberty. It's enslavement every time. 54 years ago, God called me to the ministry, and I've been in the ministry for all these years. I want to tell you something. I have never one time, I have pastored thousands upon tens of thousands of people, I've never seen one time where liquor has ever helped a family. I've never seen where the lottery, I remember about 30 some years ago, they were bringing the lottery into California, and a couple on a Friday afternoon, they came to see me. Excuse me, it wasn't a Friday. On Friday, he would get his paycheck on, and he never would come home on Friday. He went and gambled his money. And the next week, he wanted to come in because he always felt so saddened that he wasted his money. But on Friday, he'd get paid. Every week, go to the bank and go lottery. She said, I never have any money for groceries. My kids are hungry most of the time. Tell them what you do with the money. And with shame in his heart, he said, I'm sorry to say I gamble it. I'm addicted. Hey, here's a mother, and a mother, forsake not, don't reject what mother's trying to put in your life. Mom puts correction. Mom puts instruction. Mom puts the Bible in her life. Oh, I can remember those days. My dad, I'd be out there playing baseball in the street. We didn't have parks nearby. And we'd be playing baseball in the street. And I can remember off of College Avenue when we played. And my dad would say after dinner, we'd eaten dinner, and I was out there playing some more ball with the neighborhood boys. And he'd say, Dad, son, come on in. Family devotions, he'd call it. I called it family Bible time, but family devotions. I was so embarrassed with that when my dad told me he wanted family devotions. The boy said, what is that? What is family? I said, no. He said, commotions. I was a good liar. I'm going to Bible time with my parents and telling my friends we were doing something else. Oh, it's just a good time with our family. What a fool. I'm so grateful that I had a mother and dad and a mother that loved the Bible. I have her Bibles. I have my dad's Bibles. What a precious memory. Once in a while, I'll bring out that German Bible. And I look at that German Bible they had. And I look at those English Bibles they had. I'm grateful that those Bibles of my parents are worn. I'm grateful our kids had a mother. I've got so many of my wife's Bibles. I pulled them down this week and was looking at her Bibles in my office that I'm storing them for. She uses the other ones she has now. She wears them out. I'm glad they're worn. I'm glad it's obvious that she has spent time. I'm glad she had a mother who died at age 45, left 8 kids, but my wife has her mother's Bible, and you could tell that lady had a Bible that she used raising 8 kids. Your mother wants to teach you the Word of God. Don't be this Ma stuff. Don't be rejecting the faith of your mother. I see in the scriptures, I'm going to run you through it with this morning. So we see the rejection of mother's Bible, the rejection of mother's law. Look what he says in chapter number 10 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You're turning there. Let's read it together. Proverbs 10, 1. Proverbs 10, 1. Ready? Begin. The Proverbs of Solomon. Who wants to put heaviness on your mother? I'm suggesting today that you never reject mother, and you never rebel secondly against mother. The Bible says that this person here is heaviness to his mother. Don't cause your mother to have sleepless nights, worn out stress because of you. You wear her out. You can, if you want, rebel against your mother, but you're always rebelling against God and you're rebelling against yourself. It will always wind up ultimately hurting you. Faith of our fathers, we sang. Well, what about faith of our mothers too? Thank God for the godly ladies. Thank God for you that today, for some reason, God helped you. The husband walked out and you're raising kids by yourself. I admire you. Thank God for your fathers. The wife is maybe in heaven. And I've looked around the room today and I saw here's a godly father, a good father, and you're being father and mother. And you must feel like at times I'm failing. The kids, let me say today, don't reject what your mother's Bible's about. Don't reject or rebel against your mother. A man of the Bible in the book of Judges, more is said about this judge than any other judge. This judge was a good judge. There were 13 of them over a span of about 400 some years. This judge was an incredible judge. In fact, when mother found out, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord said, you're going to have a baby. And it's an amazing thing about that mother. She went directly to her husband and said, this man told me something. This person told me something. She wist not. The Bible says that it was an angel. And she went directly to her husband. No secrets in the homes. Children and parents, parents with one another. And he said, well, ask him. If he comes again, ask him how we're supposed to order the child. How are we supposed to raise him? In other words, this daddy was a good daddy. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. We as men don't. And he appeared again and said, here's how you order. And he began to instruct him about ordering this. This child had such a great beginning. Brought into a good home, a godly home. And he was a good judge. One day he came to his mother in Judges 14 and said, Mother, Dad, I want a woman from over there. Where, son? The Philistines. You know, David and Goliath, the Philistine. The Philistines have always been the enemy of God. And he said, I want a wife from over there. They said, oh no, are there not any good ladies here? By the way, you want to find a good woman? Find her at the house of God. I mean, you're not going to find a good woman in a tavern. It's easier when we preach together. You're not going to find a good woman shooting up together. You're not going to find a good woman shacking up together. You're not going to find a good woman who doesn't get along with the parents. May I say today, and I know some, don't take that to the extreme. Sometimes some parents are so crazy. They X you out of there. They're going to have to deal with that. But this boy rebelled. Samson rebelled. Said, no, I want a Philistine woman. You know what that woman did? She began to put doubt in everything that he was taught. Don't date a guy that's going to put doubt on God's plan. Husband and wife. The house of God. The things of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's not the type of person you want to spend your life with. You want a mate that wants more of God, more of the Bible, more of singing. Folks, it's hard to preach without you involved today, but you want more of that. Samson got what he wanted. You know where it ended up? She led him to a place where his eyes were gouged out by the Philistines. And his strength was gone. And they mocked him and they brought him before the enemies and laughed and scoffed him and then threw him down in the basement where there's a big banquet going on. Yes, in his death he pulled down, his strength came back and his hair didn't grow. And the Bible says he pulled down the house and so many were slaughtered in his death. But wait a minute, he died too. What was the root? He rebelled. You're going to lose your mother one day. All that you stood that had a you have a pink carnation, you have your mother, you're going to lose her. And it's our prayer as adults that I want to go before my kids and grandkids. Doesn't always work that way. But you don't want to look back at a life of rebellion. You don't want to look back at a life of rejection. Would you turn to chapter 15? I'll try to wrap it up in the next hour or two. Just checking to see if you're listening. Look at this, chapter 15. I want you to read one verse with me. Proverbs 15. Would you read verse number 20, please? Thank you for reading. Proverbs 15, 20. Ready? Begin. A wise son. Despises. That's the key word. When someone despises, it means no regard. No regard. It's disregard. It is to hold in contempt. In other words, you renounce. You reject. We rebel. And we renounce. I know more than you, mother. Son, please sit up straight. Try it with the microphone. Son, sit up straight. Use the microphone, son. Or papa, whatever the case might be right here today. Is that the attitude toward your mother? We sang in Sunday school. Was it Sunday school? We sang Precious Memories. How they linger. You want to have good memories, and all of us have flaws, and we have days and think, oh, I wish I could redo those days with my mom. But can I say today, from this day forward, do not renounce, despise your mother. Do not rebel against your mother. Do not reject your mother. I recall the story that D.L. Moody used to tell. Moody died in 1899, the great preacher. He told the story of a Scottish girl raised by a sweet, godly mother in good home. Dad died and she got bitter. And she began to rebel and reject everything her mother had put in her heart. She decided that I'm old enough, I can live without my mother and the faith of my mother. And you probably know where this story is going. She went out to the world, moved away to Edinburgh. Not far from her mother, but in another city. While she was there, she literally destroyed her life as she went into deep sin. On this night, she decided as she went back to the little flat where she was staying that night, and so my life is of no value. I'm going to take my life tonight. And it was a done decision. She said, I'm taking my life tonight. You can almost imagine where the story is going. She said, before I die, I'm going back to the neighborhood and just look and see the home where I was brought up and think of all the stupid decisions, the foolish decisions I made with my life. In the dark, in the middle of the night, she went and she thought she saw the door open of the little cottage. So she lifted the lever of the little gate, white picket fence, and she walked in and shut the gate. She walked a little bit closer and said, the front door is open. It's the middle of the night. It's the dark of the night. Something must be wrong with mother. She went in the house. She said, "Mother." And her mother came. Like the prodigal son, her mother braced her and hugged her. She said, "What in the world are you doing? The front door is wide open." And you know the story. She said, "Honey, the day you left, that door has never been shut. In the cold of winter, it's open. In the midnight hour, it's open. In the early morning, it's open. Because I prayed if you'd come back one more time, you'd always see the door open to your home." That night she said, "Mother, I was going to kill myself tonight. I just stopped by to look. I never thought I'd come in. But I came in. And I feel like I'm home." You can reject your mother. You can rebel. You can renounce her. Chapter 31, and I'm done. Chapter 31. Look what the Bible says. In chapter 31, in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, watch this, that his mother taught him. You know, we've talked about rejecting mother and rebelling against mother and renouncing mother, but this man had a choice to make. And this boy perhaps chose to ridicule his mother. She became an expert. This text, you'll see it, she became an expert at teaching. Before we get to verse 10, that verse, it talks about a virtuous woman. And you can ridicule, "Oh, my mother, she's such a religious nutcase. All about God, all about Jesus, all about prayer, all about the Bible, all about church, all about living for God." You can ridicule your mom all you want. Stand with me at the marker where your mother's going to be laid to rest. My parents are both laid to rest in Santa Maria, California. I don't get down there very much. But when I get down there, I always clean the marker. And I always work around it. I take things to clean it. And I stand there and look at my dad's name and my mother's name and the date of birth, 1923 and 1924. The day of their homegoing, 9 years ago, 7 years ago. I miss those old people. I always take something out there, spend some time, and I know they're not there. I always look at that verse they have, John chapter 11. "I am the resurrection and the life." I miss my parents like you miss yours. We go to my wife's marker, her mother's marker. Her mom died 1970, October the 4th. And we always take something to trim it, clean it. We stop by there to see that marker. That's many years ago now. You know, friend, you're going to stand at your mother's marker one day. Never talk back to your mom.
Amen.
Oh, my.
The guy's a little slow. He's got mental problems, but then he wonders why he didn't have a lot of lines in the play, right?
Oh, my.
There you go, hon. You're doing great now. Don't treat your mother that way.
Yes, sir. Amen!
Let's make it that this year, whatever days we have with mother, it's the best Mother's Day ever. It's the best July 4th ever with mother. Memorial Day. Back to school. Labor Day. Harvest season. Thanksgiving. Christmas. January 1st, 2025. Her birthday. Whatever it might be. Stop all this life where it's all about me. I'm not happy. I had to grow up in a Christian church. Oh, yeah, that's right. that church is such a bad place. Kept you off drugs, kept you off drink, kept you off this. That's a pretty bad place. Thank God for your mother. Don't hold her to be perfect. Mothers, I would just ask, if you're a mother, don't you blow it. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to talk to you again. What mother would do that?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.